the sound of your great name. All condemned feel no shame at the sound of your great name.
And all Welcome to Life Eternal Ministry Radio and Podcast. We are a listener-supported ministry, meaning that our radio and podcast are not supported with funds from commercial entities. We rely on a partnership with you. Paul says this in Philippians 4:17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Inasmuch as the Church of Philippi offered material support to Paul for his ministry, of which the apostle was much appreciative, he purposed to make it clear that he is more interested in the fruit that abounds to their account. Paul regarded the Philippian church as partners rather than donors. At Life Eternal Ministry, we regard you as a partner and not as a donor. Your gift, therefore, is more than material support. Your gift speaks prophetically into the lives of our listeners and to generations yet unborn, as we partner in reaching millions across the globe with the message of Jesus Christ, establishing believers in their identity in Christ, and training them to access and make use of their inheritance in Christ Jesus. Your partnership and support is highly appreciated. Ways to partner with us. Cash App at 205-862-0205. That is 205-862-0205. Our website, www.lifeeternalministry.com. Our podcast page at https://anchor.fm/lifeeternalministry. Yours in Christ. Pastor Ibrahim, Life Eternal Ministry. Be encouraged, be inspired.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Life Eternal Ministries. My name is Pastor Ibrahim. I am delighted to be here yet another day to share with you the value system of the kingdom of heaven, looking at the issues of the heart, addressing the heart, because we know and we understand, for the scriptures say so, that the heart is exceedingly deceitful and desperately wicked. Who shall know it? Even the keeper of the heart is subject to deceit. And therefore, we cannot keep our own hearts. We must be kept by God. In this episode, there is a message that I would like us to listen to. This is the message of royalty, leading as kings. And I believe that this message will bless you. Even as you listen to it, we shall break in between to discuss what we heard and to listen carefully to what the minister of the Lord is saying. Let me be sure that the message is plain. Glory, hallelujah.
Nothing like presence of the Lord. There is nothing like the presence of the Lord. And as we seek His face, He is here in this place. There is nothing like the presence of the Lord. Come on, say that with me, say it.
There is nothing like the presence of the Lord.
There's nothing that compares with the presence of God.
There is nothing like the presence of the Lord.
As we seek His face,
as we seek His face,
He promised He'd be here.
He is here in this place.
There is nothing like the presence.
There is nothing like the presence of the Lord.
nothing compares. There is nothing like.
There is nothing like the presence of the Lord.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
There is nothing like the presence of the
Media. Be encouraged, be uplifted.
Welcome, that is the song Show Me Your Face by William McDonald. I've prepared a message here for you to listen. This is a message by our senior pastor, Apostle Jacob, that was delivered on April 15th, 2018. The title of this message is Royal Speech and Royal Behavior. There are very valuable lessons to learn from this message, and I hope you will benefit greatly. We shall discuss on this message towards the end of the episode. Until then, sit tight, listen, take notes, and grow in your spirit.
And how to mean it. The first instruction was not go sing a song. The first instruction was not go speak in tongues. The first instruction was not go prophesy. It was go and be kings. Go and be a king. And so Matthew becomes the first book, because unless we understand kingdom, we will do servanthood and prophetic and priesthood in a mess. Unless we are kings that are serving, we will serve people with an agenda. Unless it is royal servants, we will serve people expecting something in return. We will serve people expecting that they acknowledge that we are serving them and we are really sacrificing ourselves. And if people don't acknowledge us, then we riot. Unless we understand our royalty first, we will offer sacrifices to God in a cheap way. We have nothing to offer sacrifices because we have nothing to offer. Because it is in the kingdom realm, is in the kingdom reality, that we understand the riches of the kingdom of God, and we are able to offer costly, valuable sacrifices. The costliest sacrifice ever recorded in the Bible was offered by King Solomon. And the Bible says he offered such a sacrifice that the glory of God came down and the priests could not do their work. There was a king who offered a sacrifice that courted the glory of God. Amen. Now, let me show you how messed up this is. We even have come up with the ways to encourage people to worship God. We have inserted human agenda, selfish agendas, to encourage people to serve God. When praises go up, what comes down? Blessings come down. And so you better praise if you want blessings to come down. What if I'm already blessed? What if I'm already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Do I have a reason to praise him? And so we offer cheap worship because we have not understood that we are kings. And the Bible says there are four things that the earth trembles. And one of them is when the pauper becomes a king. When a pauper becomes a king, because they offer cheap sacrifices. Proverbs, there are four things that the earth trembles, and one is when a pauper becomes a king, when a pauper rules. And Ecclesiastes says this, I have seen princes walk while slaves are riding horses. I've seen princes walk by foot as their slaves are riding horses. You know why? You know why? Because they have not known that they are kings. I mean, how many believers today are begging non-believers to give them connections at work? How many believers today are expecting promotion from an unbeliever? I have seen kings walk and slaves ride horses. It has been reversed because they do not know who they are. And so it is crucial, it is important that we do not give beggarly worship. It is important that we do not serve people as slaves. We do not serve people with an agenda. We serve them because we know who we are. We are honorable people just like that. We have already been blessed. And so when I lift up my hands, you know, there's times you lift up your hands and all tears come down. But it's not because of how good God is. Your tears are coming down because of how many problems you have. And he said, man, that was really great worship. I saw people crying, people lying on the floor, and all of that. It's really not that they were amazed at how magnificent or how glorious God is. It was their problems. They were weighed down by problems. Their worship was beggarly worship. Prophetic, that's even worse. That's even worse. When someone prophesies from a slave place, when someone prophesies from a slave place, that will destroy lives. That will destroy lives. Amen. You do not want to meet a prophet prophesying from a beggarly place. You do not want to meet that kind. Because their prophecy are always in line with what God is not doing. They are always tainted by their own struggles. I have a friend on Facebook. He calls himself a minister. He will write sometimes on his wall, and he will say, I hear the Spirit of God saying that there are 17 people God is calling to send me $20. And God will bless you in the next 20 minutes. And if this message offends you, then it's not for you. Thinking, $20 times 17, 340. I probably could write you that check so you stop this mess and embarrassment on Facebook. You see, God has a special word for you. Call me if you want to sow into the man of God. And I know this man of God is not doing anything at home. I was with this particular man of God and I dropped him. He is doing absolutely nothing at home. He is just seated there. And so I know this man of God is really not hearing God. But he's a prophet. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So you do not want the prophetic to be on someone who does not understand kingdom. If you do not understand kingdom, you probably don't want to prophesy. Because you will prophesy from a place of slavery. Begging. And so then, in the previous service, I taught about the things that govern your speech. Because in the kingdom lifestyle, the royal way, we must develop speech. We must develop speech that aligns to the kingdom way. And on Sunday we say that the king rules by principle and by decree. The kingdom is in your heart and in your mouth. And therefore then, we, as we rule by decree, we must transform what we say. The language must change into royal language. This is just a review. And I said this, that speech is transformed by these two things. One, by the promise. The speech must be transformed by the promise. The more you dwell on what God has said, the more what you say begins to change. You must allow what you say be governed by what God said. I only need to meet you for 5 minutes before I know whom you have been spending time with. I only need to hear you speak for 5 minutes before I know whether you have been spending time with God or CNN. Whether you've been hearing your mother or Jesus Christ. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, we must dwell then completely, we must engage ourselves in the business of the promise. Keep reminding ourselves, what has God said? I know we are surrounded by fight. I know it seems like this family is going down. I know my body, I know what the doctor said, but God said this. But God said this. But God said this. The kingdom people must allow themselves to develop a language that reflects their royalty. Because many times we react to what the devil is doing, and instead of responding to what God has said. And so the doctor comes and says, you have 3 months to live. Those are the facts. But after that, whether I live or die, depends on what I was saying. Okay, let me say this. I've seen people whom the doctor tells they have 3 months to live, and they can't even leave the bed the doctor told them they can't leave. They came in walking, and they admitted. I've seen people, the doctor tells them you have 3 months to live, and they say, you do not have my expiration date. And they keep on living. The difference is not which doctor was right or which doctor was wrong. The difference was they started speaking. Your language must become royal language. Royal language. And many, I said this on Sunday, you are where you are because of what you have said or what you have omitted from saying, what you have not said. You are where you are because of what you have said or what you have not said. Because the kingdom is in our hearts and in our mouths. The kingdom is in our hearts and in our mouths. I saw a trailer of a movie called, I Think I'm Pretty or something. It's this lady, she's a comedian. She wakes up and all of a sudden she sees herself as beautiful. Something goes wrong with her mind and she sees herself as beautiful. In the standards of this world, she really is not. Her name escapes me right now. She's the highest female comedian right now. Her name escapes me. Anyway, somehow her mind tricks her into thinking that she is beautiful according to the standards of the world. And what she does, she tells her girlfriend, let us go all the way to the beach and we are going to buy those tiny, tiny bikinis because we need to show people how beautiful we are. And in the middle of the movie, I just watched the trailer. In the middle of the movie, the people begin to accept the reality that she is seeing and she is saying. Because again, the world you are in was created by the world you have spoken. It is not what people say about you, it is what you say about yourself. And therefore, you must develop royal language. Royal language. Royal language. And not just about you, but about everything around you. About your children, about your future, about your job, about your business. Everything around you, you must begin to allow that language to be governed by the promise. Your language must be governed by the promise of God over your life. And so the Bible says he meditates upon the word day and night. He meditates upon the word day and night. Okay. When they left Egypt, they couldn't cross the Red Sea because they were afraid of the waters. The Bible says God raised Pharaoh so Pharaoh could motivate them to believe him to cross the Red Sea, because they were slaves and they knew motivation by fear and pain. They were motivated by fear and pain. But when they got to the edge of Jordan, God told them to cross, and they sent people and they saw the potential of fear and pain. And they decided to turn, not knowing that they had stopped being slaves. Now they were supposed to behave as sons, and they were supposed to be motivated by the promise. And so, whenever they looked at things that inspired fear and pain, they were supposed to be motivated, because not only is there giants, but the land itself has milk and honey. And so God does not mention the giants in Canaan, because he expects them to forge their speech depending and corresponding with the promise. Okay. Where are we supposed to be holy? Why are we holy? What do we tell our children? Don't lie. So you don't want? You don't want to hell. Pain and fear are what we use to motivate. But once you become a child of the King, it is no longer what you will face as consequences. It is about you as your identity in the kingdom. This is not how we behave in this family. This is not how we behave as children of God. The thing is, as long as that's what we say, that's what the world we are building for them, and that's the world we are living in. We are saying we would not behave like this. There's nothing people used to say. Even if there was no hell or heaven, I would still be a Christian. Because it's a pretty good life. And I think that word Christian has really messed us up. Because we were called to be children of the King. But once you put Christian, we develop a Christianist language and a Christianist way of living that has really nothing to do with the kingdom, but has everything to do with avoiding hell and being good people, being nice people, as long as we do not enter hell. And so most people, they want to live life on the edge. And so people come and ask you, can I listen to secular music? And if I can listen to secular music, can I listen to the one that has curse words? What they want to find is, where is that edge where I can walk and make sure I don't go to hell? And so it's almost as if all of us, we are looking for the place where we know that this, I can do this and still be safe. When you get time, go look at, on Google, Queen Elizabeth jumps on the sun. Oh, Queen Elizabeth, so there's several words I use there, but it's pretty much she rebukes her son. This is what happens. Queen Elizabeth, they come out with the son and the grandson, and the son, Prince, is it Charles or whoever? One of the princes, the one who got married and they're about to have they had a second child. They are standing outside at the balcony and everybody is watching them. And the son starts playing with his child. They were doing something. And the queen is standing there looking, and she does like this. And he's a grown man. I think he's almost 40. He stands up and he looks forward. He was not threatened that you're going to stop being part of this house. What he was being told, this is not how children of royalty behave. It's the same point, but different ways of communicating. Royal language. Promise. The other one is presence. The other one is presence. It says in Joshua 1:8, go, for I am with you. For I am with you. Again, your language must be governed by the knowledge of his promised presence. For I am with you. For I am with you. Many times we are inviting God into our lives. Many times we're inviting God into the church, we're inviting God into our moments, we're inviting God into when we are going to pray. When we do that, when that language becomes that, then we left God somewhere. Whether or not I feel him, does no matter. He said, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. And that should change your language. Why? Because whenever you walk with him, whatever you are facing, you're not answering as you. You are answering as you plus him. Genesis 49:22. I don't know. This is still a review. This is really not what I wanted to speak here, but we'll go on with it. Genesis 49:22. I want you to see how God's presence in your life changes what you are facing as a child of a king. Genesis 49:22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, or a fruitful vine. A fruitful bough vine by a well. His branches ran over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him. And the arms shot at him and hated him. Joseph is a fruitful bough, is a fruitful vine. But the archers have bitterly grieved him. The archers, just because he is fruitful, just because it seems like he's going somewhere, he garners more enemies. The archers, they have shot at him. They have bitterly grieved him. But the Bible says this, but his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. For there is a shepherd, the stone of Israel. Remember, the shepherd and the stone of Israel are the words by the end of Psalms 19. And so he says, Joseph is on the wall, and his bow is tight. He is ready for war, and there are enemies fighting him. but he remains strong, not because of his own strength, but because there's someone behind him holding his hand, strengthening him. Unless you understand that, unless you understand that, your language will be the language of a lonely person fighting a lonely battle. And so the royal language is also framed by the understanding of his abiding presence. Must be framed by the understanding of God's abiding presence, that I am with you. Whatever you are going through, I am with you. And so, in Isaiah, he says this, even when, chapter 43, he says, whenever you go through the fire, I'll be there with you. Now, God could easily remove you from the fire, but he makes sure. He allows you to go through the fire, and then he says, I am with you. And so then, your language in the fire must change. Your language, when you're going through the waters and the flood, must change. You cannot say, woe is me. I'm the only one people don't like. I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one who is having to handle this. Your language must reflect that you know that your Father has allowed this and he could easily remove it. This, in this, I'm not a victim. Jesus tells Pilate, you are not the one who is holding him. You don't, and Pilate told him, you know I can take your life away from you. You know the people who threaten you. You know I can fire you. Cosby, Cosby told his son, I brought you in this life and I can take you out of this life. And this world operates again by fear and pain. And so there are people who feel as if they hold your life in their hands. By the way, even the house you're living in is really not owned by your landlord or by the bank. It is him, the Bible says, he gives the birds shelter, he gives you shelter. I know you pay your bills, but really, they do not own your life. I've seen people foreclosed on, and they live in that house for 3 years. And they get another house, and they get time to go to buy the new house, even when their old house was foreclosed on. They do not own you. You may be paying them the mortgage or the rent, but Jesus tells Pilate, you have no authority apart from the authority given to you. His royal speech, He, whatever he is speaking, he's not speaking as a beggar or a victim. He is not speaking as someone who is below. He is speaking as someone who knows who they are and whom they to whom they belong. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's speech. I want to speak about behavior. What governs royal behavior? What governs royal behavior? The book of Psalms, chapter 89, royal behavior. Verse 14. If you read that and it says, strong is your arm. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of the throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. And since mercy and truth go before your face. Righteousness and justice. And I want you to see, because that verse is also repeated in Psalms 97. verse 2, righteous and righteousness and justice. This kingdom we belong to, we must be able to check the foundation of that throne. The foundation of that throne. How do then we carry ourselves? How do we carry ourselves? How do we approach issues? How do we know what will govern our behavior? What are our core values as royalty? As royalty, what governs our behavior? How do we react to our environment? He says righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, the foundation of the Lord stands sure, written with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and let those who name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. The foundation of the Lord. And so then, a kingdom is only as good as the foundation of the throne, the foundation of the authority, the foundation of the authority and the rule of that throne. And therefore, we see that if we are going to walk as royalty, if you're going to behave in a royal manner, then we need some things that govern how we behave. And what governs how we behave is the throne of God, the foundation of the throne of God, that allows us now to comport and to carry ourselves either in rest or in panic. Either in rest or in panic. Is the throne of God still where we left it? And so he says, righteousness and justice are the foundations of this throne of God. That God will not break his law. That God will not break his principles. Not just that, that this throne stands on what is right. There is no evil, there is no wickedness, there is no injustice that is on this throne. That is the foundation of the throne. The foundation of the throne of God is that there is a consistent pursuit and establishment of righteousness and justice. Now, we as children of God, we know that. The more we know that, the more we are able to behave in accordance to royal ways. Now, the book of 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Bible says that Jesus, he became sin that we may become the righteousness of God. He became sin that we may become the righteousness of God. That you and I have become the righteousness of God. And so the throne of God that is founded on righteousness and justice. Justice of God and his righteousness have been fulfilled completely at the cross. Amen. Let me say this. Whatever we lacked from the beginning has been provided for completely at the cross. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief is a lawbreaker. The thief is a lawbreaker. And so he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, that they may have life, and life more abundantly. And therefore then, whenever there is lack of abundance in my life, someone has stolen or broken or killed. Someone has stolen or destroyed or killed, and that is the work of the thief. If I come here and I'm struggling in an area, if I stand here and I'm having problems in a particular area of my life, I cannot say that that's how God made me. I cannot justify that somehow God is okay with this. Because I know He came that I may have life and life more abundantly. And the throne of God, the intent, the purpose of the throne of God is to see justice fulfilled. And I know that the cross fulfilled all justice. And so anything that does not reflect abundance means that something has been stolen. And therefore, I can go to the same throne and seek payment of everything that the enemy has taken away from me. And so we do not behave as if this is normal. We do not behave as if this can be rationalized. We do not rationalize behavior and lifestyle that does not look like God. We keep seeking to see what has been stolen because we want to walk and to comport ourselves in a way that says, these are royal children. And so what the enemy would do, you will go through an area of your life that somehow you're struggling, and the enemy will take something from your life and say, well, if you had not done this, then that would not be happening to you. You are going through that because of what you did here. The question is, did Jesus pay it all? Amen. Did Jesus pay it all? Was justice satisfied? Are we the righteousness of God, or are we becoming the righteousness of God? Is the promise that we are the righteousness of God, or is the promise if you try hard enough, you might become the righteousness of God? Because when that question is answered, it allows for us to see the throne of God and to have rest. Rest in our hearts. Now, the Bible says this in Hebrews. Let me show you where the throne of God comes in. Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. Hebrews 6. Verse 13. It says this. For when God made a promise to Abraham, he could swear by no one greater. He swore by himself. Okay. Just look at me for a little bit. We'll go down there. There's an interesting story in the book of Genesis when Abraham is offering a sacrifice. The Bible says that Abraham cut a bull in half, one on this side, one on the other side, cut a goat in half, one on this side, one on the other side, cut even doves and divided them. And there was a path between the two. And the point was, in olden times, when the covenant was made, a person would stand on this side and blood will be flowing into the middle. There will be blood flowing. And so imagine these aisles. They represent a cow, a bull, a goat, and a dove. They are all split. and blood is flowing into this middle. And these people would take off their sandals, and one person would start on that side, and one person would start on this side, and they would walk in the middle, and they are stepping, their shoes are soaked, their feet are soaked in blood, and that blood is the blood of the covenant, and they would get in the middle, and they would shake hands. In the middle of that death and the blood flowing, that covenant will be ratified by the shaking of hands in the midst of blood. And so, that covenant, it will be where they would swear to uphold whatever they have agreed. But Abraham did that, and he waited on God. The Bible says he at some point started fighting birds so they wouldn't come. He is waiting on God so God can stand on that side and he can stand on this side. And Abraham did that, and by evening, the Bible says Abraham slept. But when he slept in his dream, he saw God walk. And when God walked, because Abraham was asleep, God shook hands with himself. Because Abraham could break the promise, but God shaking hands with himself, he knew that that promise would never be broken. And so the Bible says, because God knew that he could not swear with anyone greater than him, he swore by himself. That for the sake of Abraham, he shook hands with himself so Abraham can receive the promise of the covenant. So that righteousness will be forever established for Abraham, no matter what Abraham did. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, on the cross, God became man and still God. And on the cross, God shook hands with himself for our sake. So that the promise God has promised Jesus will be your promise no matter what. All right. Even so, he says, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end to all dispute. The oath is the end to all dispute. Once we understand the throne of God is established forever, there is no dispute. There is no question. There is no argument. There is nothing that is needed for us. We know God said it. That settles it. Our royal behavior must be governed by the realization that the throne of God is established on righteousness and justice. And justice. And so he says, that God determined to sow more abundantly to the heirs of the promise, the immutability or the unchanging nature, the unchanging nature of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two unchanging things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Behavior, royal behavior that is a lifestyle of hope. We may lay a hold of the consolation of the hope set ahead of us. And he says this, this hope we have as an anchor for the soul. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul. Now, what is a soul? My emotions, my will, my intellect. This hope is what allows, no matter what is going on, my mind, my emotions are completely focused on what God has said. And so my behavior, I'm not losing my head. I'm not rising up and going down depending on what's going around. I have this hope. is an anchor for the soul. And so the royal person does not change today because the stocks went up and goes down tomorrow because Syria was attacked. They are emotions, and their will and their intellect remains anchored. The Bible says, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the foreigner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become the high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Actually, the idea is, not only was this an anchor, it went behind the veil, and behind the veil, it was fastened on the throne of God, which itself cannot change. Now, he says it's an anchor for the soul. And therefore then, the ship, I believe today is like 106th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. 106 years ago today, Titanic hit an iceberg, and in 3 hours, the ship that had been spoken of as unsinkable was gone, and 1,500 people perished. But then he says, we have an anchor for the soul. I may be in the same ocean as everyone else. I may be beaten by the same waves as everyone else, but I don't lose my mind like everyone else. My emotions don't go up when Obama is in and go down when Trump is in. My emotions don't go crazy when Obama is in and somehow I feel more protected when Trump is in. My emotions, my will, and my intellect are fastened to something else other than the stock market. They are fastened to something else other than my job or my business. They are fastened to something else other than my friends, how much they like me or they don't like me. My hope, my soul is fastened to the very throne of God because of this lifestyle of hope. Hope. Hope is a currency of influence. Hope is a currency of influence. Hope is a currency of influence. God will not give influence to people who are hopeless. The best way to lose influence, actually, the easiest way to lose influence is every time people come to you, you tell them how bad things are. How bad things are. How bad things are becoming. How this is the worst. And it's funny thing, I think older people do this all the time. Yeah? They say, well, you gotta close our doors these days. You know, these days you cannot trust people these days. Thinking, when was the time we could trust people? You know, like, people have become crazy. You know someone is about to die when they give up hope. You say, well, racism is the worst these days. Actually, no. Nobody is trying to hang you on a tree. You can still go to any hotel you want.
Give you praise.
This is Pastor Abraham Isuche. We have been listening to the message, The Language of Royalty, by Apostle Jacob. And a couple of things that come up in that discussion. Worth of your note that we do not rationalize behavior and lifestyle that is not godly. We know and understand that Jesus paid it all on the cross. That is, he paid it all. The past sins, the present, the future sins, Jesus paid it all. And there is also the need to understand that there is no more trying, because we have been made the righteousness of God. We are not trying to become the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God, because God shook hands with himself at the cross, just as he did when he made a covenant with Abraham, that he passed over the covenant in the form that he did, and shook hands with himself. And we know he is the unchanging God and the unchanging nature. And these two things, with this unchanging nature, it is impossible for God to lie. And so we have this hope in Christ Jesus. Our hope is anchored in Christ Jesus. We are not moved by external influences. We are not moved by political dynamics. We are not moved by economic dynamics or social dynamics. We have this all hope that is anchored in Christ Jesus. And with that settled, then we watch our behavior. We watch our language. We behave as royals and as priests, and we speak as royals and as priests. This taps into the value system that we have been talking about for the past 1 month, and addressing the issues of life as well. For what comes out of your mouth reveals the condition of your heart. And therefore, as children of the kingdom of God, we desire to have God search our hearts on a daily basis, to watch over us and to guard us, for out of that will flow the issues of life. And because now we are kings and royals, then we are handling the issues of life as kings and as royals. We don't speak like the commoners. We don't respond or react to our environment like the commoners. We are royals. And that message, I hope it has reached you. He has found you in an upbeat form, and ready to go out in this day and act as a royal. Once again, thank you for listening in. That was our senior pastor. That message was delivered in 2018, I think 15th of April, and it's still impacts our lives, changes our lives, change the way we think and behave to date. All right, as we sorry about that, as we come to the end of this session, I'd like you to receive this ministry of music, Fill Me Up. Until then, may God bless you and do you good. We shall meet again in our next episode. This is Pastor Ibrahim Isuche here at Life Eternal Ministries. May God bless you and do you good.
Welcome to Life Eternal Ministry Radio and Podcast. We are a listener-supported ministry, meaning that our radio and podcast are not supported with funds from commercial entities. We rely on a partnership with you. Paul says this in Philippians 4:17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account.
Inasmuch as the Church of Philippi offered material support to Paul for his ministry, of which the apostle was much appreciative, he purposed to make it clear that he is more interested in the fruit that abounds to their account. Paul regarded the Philippian church as partners rather than donors. At Life Eternal Ministry, we regard you as a partner and not as a donor. Your gift, therefore, is more than material support. Your gift speaks prophetically into the lives of our listeners and to generations yet unborn, as we partner in reaching millions across the globe with the message of Jesus Christ, establishing believers in their identity in Christ, and training them to access and make use of their inheritance in Christ Jesus. Your partnership and support is highly appreciated. Ways to partner with us. Cash App at 205-862-0205. That is 205-862-0205. Our website, www.lifeeternalministry.com. Our podcast page at https://anchor.fm/Life Eternal Ministry. Yours in Christ, Pastor Ibrahim, Life Eternal Ministry. Be encouraged, be inspired.
If you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice.